Shalom, this is Shira Sherbo, and this week I learned about a man named Wendell Jones, and I'm going to tell you about him. Wendell Jones was born in Sudan, Texas in 1930, and he just recently passed away and was buried in Grandview, Texas at the age of 80. So when Wendell Jones was 25, he became a Baptist preacher. He got his degree in theology, but he only ended up doing that for 2 years. And it says in his autobiography that he came to believe that there were many apparently anti-Jewish statements in the Gospels that were, he said, they were omitted in the earlier manuscripts. So he decided to resign from being a pastor, and he moved to South Carolina, and he began to study with a rabbi. And as his knowledge increased, so did the realization that all of his earlier studies had been very incomplete. And so Wendell Jones eventually developed a very distinctive religious outlook, and he became very active in the Noahide movement. And I'll come back to that in a minute, but I want to just tell you about when he was 37, so that was in 1967, he decided to move his family to Israel, and he continued his studies at the Hebrew University. And this is when he also became involved in the archaeological aspects of Israel. And kind of a side note, okay, his name is Wendell Jones, and he was an archaeologist, and there's the character Indiana Jones. So Wendell, sometimes he was called Vendy. Vendy could sound like Indy. And so he got a lot of people thinking that the character of Indiana Jones was based on him. He said, "No, it just so happens that my last name is Jones, and just so happens I'm an archaeologist, and it just so happens that I'm looking for the lost Ark of the Covenant." But he wrote a book, and he said in his book that he never claimed to be like the real Indiana Jones. That's just a side note. So he was in Israel in 1967 when the Six-Day War broke out, and he asked if he could enlist in the Israeli Defense Forces, but he was turned down because they did not want to put an American civilian in harm's way. Okay, so the war began, and Wendell was making his way on foot towards Jerusalem, and he came upon some of the Israeli soldiers, and so he offered himself once again as a soldier, but the commander refused to give him a gun. Instead of a gun, he handed him a pair of binoculars, and he told him to keep an eye towards the road to Tel Aviv. Well, it just so happens that Wendell was colorblind, but this allowed him to spot camouflage. And so, when he was observing at his post, he spotted 66 Jordanian anti-tank positions and 4 Jordanian personal bunkers in the valley below. And so he was credited as having been a significant factor in Israel's defeat of the Jordanians. And he says later that day, he hitched a ride to Jerusalem, and he arrived near the Temple Mount just in time to hear the blast of the shofar coming from the Kotel, the Western Wall. And he said that that sound of the shofar was etched in his soul forever. So I love this story about Wendell Jones because what we're spending a lot of time doing right now on this website, Torah for the Nations, is looking at the relationship between Jews and non-Jews. And so Wendell Jones was a non-Jew, but he had a very close relationship with the Jewish people. And back in the days of King David and King Solomon, there were thousands of righteous Gentiles that lived peacefully among the Jews in Israel. They fought with David in battle. And when Solomon was king and the temple was built, the non-Jews would bring their offerings to Solomon's temple. So one of the most important decisions that a non-Jew makes, and when I say non-Jew, that's about 99.9% of the world, because the Jews only make up about like 0.02% of the world. So one of the most important decisions that every non-Jew, Jewish person makes is what kind of relationship he or she will have with the Jewish people. And that was what happened in the case of Wendell Jones. When he was reading, he came across some anti-Semitic statements, and it didn't sit well with him, and he felt like he didn't trust that because they weren't there originally and then they were put there. And he became friends with the Jewish people, even to the point of helping them in the Six-Day War. And so when you look at the historical relationship between the nations and the Jews, social scientists compare it to the relationship between a cat and a mouse. Because there's really no explanation why a cat has it out for the mouse. It's just a fact of life. It just is. And it seems like it's just a law of nature. It's never going to go away. It's like an eternal face-off. And this is the way that it's been with the Jews, whether it's the Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans, the Germans, the Vatican. Every powerful nation or every powerful entity has conflicted with the Jews. And so when we get to the end of days, there's a prophecy about this relationship between the Jews and the non-Jews. And it says pretty much that everything is going to make a dramatic turn from the way it's always been. In Zechariah 8:23, it says, "In those days, when 10 men of all the languages of the nations shall take hold of the skirt of a Jewish man, saying, 'Let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you.'" And so this is prophesying about the day when the Jewish people will fulfill their destiny. So in the same way that God gave the rooster the role to distinguish between day and night, he gave Israel the role to distinguish between light and darkness, between right and wrong, goodness and evil. And he commanded them to be a kingdom of priests and a light to the nations. So Israel took on this role and this yoke that can never be shed. And it's their job to inform, make aware, notify, open the eyes of the nations concerning the kingdom of heaven. So the plan is for the whole world to be preserved and delivered from the consequences of sin through the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. So the non-Jews are not obligated in any way to be Jewish or to lead a Jewish lifestyle, but they are commanded to trust God that he is able to work with the Jews until the plan is fulfilled. So whether it's on an individual level or on a national level, non-Jews can benefit the most from Israel when they recognize her role, that she is supposed to be a light to the nations, and then try to live by that light. So like I was saying, like one of the most important decisions that every non-Jew makes is what kind of relationship that he or she is going to have with the Jewish people. Without the Jew as a light to the nations, a non-Jew may end up searching in the darkness forever. He may never leave idolatry or ever become joined to the one true God. And then without the help of the Noahides, and the Noahides was the kind of person that Wendell Jones was, just a person that didn't necessarily convert to Judaism, but he was a help to Israel and lived in peace with Israel. And without these kind of people, whether you call it Noahide or righteous Gentiles, the Jewish people might never ever reach the final redemption. In other words, the non-Jews need the Jews and the Jews need the non-Jews, because the bringing of the Messiah and the final redemption will take both the Jews and the Noahides working together as one unified Israel. So there's a secret there in that verse in Zechariah 8:23. It says that the Lord of hosts says, in those days when 10 men of all the languages of the nation shall take hold of the skirt of the Jewish man, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. So God is waiting for the Jewish people to become teachers to the nations, and what the prophet Isaiah called a light to the nations. And this is what is needed to return the world from the present day darkness of hatred and terrorism. And God is waiting for the nations of the world to observe the Noahide laws and benefit from the light of the Torah. And back in the day of Solomon's temple, the righteous Gentiles could take their sacrifices and team up with the priest, the Kohen, and they would it was possible for the non-Jews to come to the temple and to make that connection with God through the sacrifices. And now, of course, there's no temple. But God, in his goodness, makes it possible for all people to still connect with him even without the temple. And so we do this by we call them mitzvot, which is basically commandments or doing good deeds and giving charity. And so at any time, the non-Jew can team up with a Jew, just like Wendell Jones did, and do good deeds, give charity, and recognize, like he did when he learned from the rabbi, recognize who God put in charge to be the teachers and the light to the nations. Okay, that's what I learned this week. And this is, I don't give you anything original. I'm just passing on what I've learned and things that I thought were interesting and think that you might think we're interesting. So that's all for now. Shalom.